Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Violated, but Israel violated it too.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to peace? Well, they violated it, but the others violated it too, so...
Questioning if Israel is committed.
Are you questioning whether Israel is committed?
Questioning if Israel is committed.
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours... You don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
They dropped the biggest load ever. Well, sometimes... The phrase is what it is. go back to yesterday. And then came the most viralist clip of all the viralist clips from yesterday.
You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Okay, and we're moving on. I think what he... was trying to express was that these two countries are so invested in hating each other that they couldn't even tell you what they're fighting about anymore. I think that's wrong. I think if you ask the average Iranian leader, they could tell you why they hate the Jews. I'm not saying they're good reasons. I'm saying... they know why they hate the Jews, and they could give you the recitation of all the things that the Jews have done to them and their opinion and all the reasons that Allah hates the Jews and all the reason that it's their duty under Muhammad to wipe them off the face of the planet, just like all the other infidels, including, for example, the people who are not of their particular persuasion. You know, they're the Shias. They want to wipe off the Sunnis. I mean, you know, you get all the infidels, right? I actually think they do know why they're fighting. I'm not saying they're good reasons. I'm saying they do know. Meanwhile, I'm sure that the Israelis could tell you why they're fighting, and they can tell you the history of all the atrocities done against them, all of the wars committed against them, all of the bombings, all of the... You know, there is a... I'm going to say it this way, and it's going to sound like a criticism, and it's not really, but the nurturing of the grievances is a common enough thing. You see it in this country... in the black community, you see it in Israel with the Jews, you see it in Iran with the Shias. It's a retelling of why we are where we are and why we hate who we hate and why we believe in what we believe. And the Jews have lots of reasons, lots and lots of reasons. And I sort of hinted at it yesterday, but I think it's accurate that the Jews, the Israelis, hate the Iranians because the Iranians hate Israel. And Iran hates the Israelis because they're Israel. I mean, that's the basic of it, right? The Israelis would be perfectly happy to be done fighting. They'd be perfectly happy to coexist. And that's just not an option that is ever really given to them. So on the one hand, I get what Trump is trying to say here is, you know, they're so invested in the hatred and the fighting and the habit of attacking each other and of living in this world where they're at war that they're in a kind of a traumatic relationship with each other and they can't seem to get clear of it. I get that expression. He feels like, you know, I'm here to offer help. I'm here to solve this problem. Why won't you let me help you solve this problem? Right? I get that. But I also think there's a sense in which it's pretty bleeping arrogant to say, I know what's best for you, if only you would figure it out. Because, and I say this, it's not, again, not condescending, none of them are dumb. I mean, the Iranians believe in crazy things, but they're not dumb, you know? And neither are the Israelis. So many other people in history have come up against this problem of peace in the Middle East and banged their head against the wall and thought, what in the world? You know, and it's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating for the president. And so it showed yesterday pretty clearly in his, you know, I degraded the nuclear facilities. How much is open for question? He says massively. Intelligence reports say somewhat. You know, the Defense Intelligence Agency came out with their report. Well, it didn't come out, but their report got given out, you know, that said that it was a couple of months instead of devastating blow. Some people are calling it treason to release that. I think the speculation all along has been that it was either, you know, 90% of Iran's nuclear capability. I'm just making up numbers, but some very high number. You know, therefore, they'd be set back years. Worst case scenario, set back, you know, a couple of weeks. The DIA says a couple of months. I mean, you know, a decisive strike sends its own message, regardless of its actual outcome. You know, is it presumptuous to believe that we can just drop a bunch of bombs on a deliberately hardened facility and destroy it and everything? And yeah, that's arrogant. Then again, it's not a totally crazy premise, given that you built these weapons for exactly this purpose. So anyway, so yeah, the news was not the analysis of who's right and who's wrong and who's done what and why do they believe what they believe and even why is Trump frustrated. It's just, President Trump breaks longstanding protocol, swears openly. Okay. It's sometimes, when I say this, it's going to sound so condescending, but I don't care. I feel a lot of times like when I'm watching the news, oh, this is really condescending. I feel like when I'm watching the news, I'm watching a bunch of children playing with some shiny piece of tinfoil that they don't understand what it is. And I think, but you have college degrees. You know, you know how to speak and spell and construct a sentence and write a narrative, and you probably know a foreign language or two, and theoretically you can do math. But yet when it comes to understanding the world, oh man, are you dumb? So, well, Andrew, they're giving the people what the people want. You know, the ratings are what the ratings are. That's how the money works. And okay. But at a certain point you lead or you don't lead. You know, at a certain point, you make a decision. And, you know, the older I get, the more I feel like it's incumbent on me to make that decision, which is we're going to talk about what I think is important. We're going to try to make you understand what's going on in the world. You know, you disagree with me. That's fine. No problem. But to fritter away people's attention on things that don't really make a difference or aren't really close to them and the significance of their lives, and instead it's a focus on, oh, my God, the president said the F-bomb. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, you've made a choice today. You've made a choice to help Americans be stupider, if that's your focus, instead of thinking about why would the president react that way and why would these people be behaving this way. And anyway, so that's, I'm feeling a bit of contempt for my industry this morning. It's stronger today than other days. And if you hear me talk about the Sunday shows, and on the Sunday show days, on Mondays, it's high. Unfortunately, the problem is high, because I think these are people that are my age. You know, if they were 30, it's fine. Some 28-year-old news reporter may or may not know enough about the world to really enter. But y'all are in your 50s, your 60s. You should know better. You've been around. You've been studying. You've been paying attention. You should know better. Anyway, 519 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
No one wants to leave behind stress for their family. That's why a trust or a will is so important. Without one, your assets might go to the wrong people or leave out loved ones. Also, probate is long, expensive, and often avoidable with a revocable trust. TrustandWill.com makes it simple to create a personalized estate plan. A trust or will provides clarity and peace of mind. Get 20% off on your estate plan documents by visiting TrustandWill.com/radio.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
You know, I had a funny conversation with somebody the other day. They were a listener, and we were talking about the show, and he's like, love the show, but when's the next Milton episode coming?
Said, you know, Andrew, that's what I was wondering, too.
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. Today, we have Milton's a-coming. Oh, yeah. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And when is that next Milton episode?
6:10.
Damn it. I'm
6:10.
Waiting.
48 minutes.
48 minutes.
I know. It's a long time to wait.
It is. No,
you got to wait till Christmas morning to open your presents, kids.
Good advice there. President Trump will be discussing the U.S. airstrikes on Iran at today's NATO summit, which is taking place in the Netherlands. Also on the list of topics, they'll be discussing the recent pledge by NATO countries to increase defense spending to 5% of their gross domestic products.
We say that and people don't understand that is a massive number. That is a huge, yes. Like the U.S. is what, 3%? I mean, that's big. It might be a little closer to 4. I forget. It's like 3.5, I think. But historically, no NATO country ever got anywhere close to that. Poland is either added or has pledged to it. Germany, the U.K., they've pledged to it. Spain is the only one that's saying no. Of course, where Spain is located is not really in the threat zone from Russia exactly, but still, this is an amazing accomplishment. What was the text that the NATO secretary sent to President Trump yesterday? Do you have that handy? I don't have it right in front of me.
I do not.
Hold on. Here it goes. NATO Secretary General, these people are always changing, unfortunately, Mark Rutte, R-U-T-T. I don't know how to say that because I haven't heard his name said enough. He says, he sent him a note. He says, Donald, you have driven us to a really, really important moment for America and Europe and the world. You will achieve something no, capital N-O, American president in decades could get done. Europe is going to pay in a big way as they should, and it will be your win. And then Trump's like showing it to reporters. See? Which he's right. This is the kind of acknowledgement that a lot of folks in the critical media, liberal media, have not ever given Trump credit for. But this is absolutely, he has managed to get them to finally increase their defense spending. Sorry, go ahead, David. It's amazing what's going on with NATO.
No, absolutely. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is urging Americans to start wearing health tracking technology. He's promoting devices like Fitbits and Apple Watches to help people monitor their health and better understand how food affects their glucose levels. He's hoping to see widespread use of that technology within the next 4 years to encourage healthier lifestyles. And Bobby Sherman has died at 81, leaving behind a legacy as a 60s and 70s teen idol. Sherman's wife confirmed his passing after a battle with stage 4 cancer.
Is this a person that you were familiar with before yesterday?
No.
Me either.
I wasn't familiar with them until I read this story right now.
All right, there you go. See, and that does, for those who know, they know, but as not a teenage girl in the 1970s, I don't right. have any relationship to this story.
As a man born in 1983,
I just have to bring that up. Why?
Hadn't encountered you have this name.
So you were 18 in the terrorist attack.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Okay, I'm just wrapping my brain, you know. I have to do that every once in a while. So, David, thank you so much for the update. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Okay, this story has been sitting in my show prep for forever, and I finally feel like I have a chance to use it. It is not the most significant thing in the world, but it did entertain me. This is from the Babylon Bee. And the headline was, here's a pickup line to use on a girl of each Christian denomination.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So this presumes you know enough about the denominations to get the jokes, and I know not everybody will. But I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. So it says, if you're a Christian guy looking to find a godly wife, you know it can be hard to start a conversation with a girl. But we at the Babylon Bee, it's a Christian satire site if you don't know, like if The Onion were Christians and funny. Okay. We have much riz. We are reliably told. Here is a pickup line used for a girl of each Christian denomination. Baptist. Want to see how many chairs I can carry?
Oh.
Pentecostal.
So true.
Ooh, Baba Kondo, Wally Wanda, wee wee. Speaking tongues to her, right? Orthodox. Nice beard. On a girl of each denomination.
That's a good pickup line.
Presbyterian, you're so cute, it's almost enough to make me express emotion. Almost. Non-denominational. Girl, I just want to just get to know you more and just really feel your presence in this place. And girl, I just ask, girl, that you just go out with me this Saturday night, amen? I'm sorry. See, I know these are... If you're not a Christian familiar with all the different denominations, I know there's a little insider politics, baseball, but John is dying.
Oh, my God. this is awesome.
This one's not that funny. Maybe if you're Catholic, you think it's funny. Go out with me. I'm speaking ex-cathedra, so you have to. Anglican. Same pickup line as Catholics, but say it with an English accent. Amish. I talked to your dad. We're getting married Saturday. Lutheran.
Oh.
Lutheran, no pickup line needed. Nailed 95 reasons she should go out with you to her door. Church of Christ, I think you and I could make some great melodies together. Acapella, oh. Of course. They don't use instruments because there's no instruments in the New Testament, and so they don't do anything that's not in the New Testament. Methodist. Oh. And then it says... Does anyone know anything about Methodists? Let's do some research and be sure to fill this joke in before publishing. I was raised Methodist. It's funny. Evangelical megachurch. I'd be honored if you'd go on a date with me at one of our church campus's 14 convenient coffee shops.
Of course.
At Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. Hey there, I'm naming and claiming your heart. You're my best girl now. Oh, this is rough.
Uh-oh.
Episcopalian. Oh, no, that's not a girl.
Oh,
I made myself cry on the radio. This is not good. All right, so there you go. There's a complete stock of godly one-liners. That special someone you've had your eye on. No need to thank us. It's from the Babylon Bee. That's so mean. It's mostly so accurate, though. All right, 437-16. Do we have any actual news that we can talk about? Oh, okay. I'll balance the terrible with the good with the terrible. You ready? This is good with the terrible. I can't believe I'm going to do these two stories back to back. This is genuinely bad news. Again, for those of you probably who are religious, were you ever into alternative Christian music like in the 90s?
Oh,
when
yeah.
It was the heyday, you know, mm-hmm. Third Day, Jars of Clay, DC Talk, Insiders,
oh, yeah.
Newsboys. You know, I have a lot of these albums still. Michael Tate. Mm-hmm. Do you know this story?
No.
Oh, this is going to make you unhappy.
Great.
Michael Tate, who was the lead singer of DC Talk, became the lead singer of Newsboys, two of the biggest artists in, you know, Christian music. Apparently has problems. And this is not like he's alleged. He actually put a confession on social media admitting allegations of unwanted groping of young men and drug use are accurate. Yeah. So he quit Newsboys in January, setting off a bunch of speculation about what went down. He wrote on Instagram that he, you know, I abruptly left Newsboys in January. I did so to get help. I was not healthy physically or spiritually and was tired of leading a double life. I spent 6 weeks at a retirement treatment center in Utah receiving help that saved my life from ultimate destruction. I've been clean and sober since, so I still have lots of hard work ahead of him. So, yeah, multiple times over the course of years, befriended men on the Christian tour, and then K-Love is no longer playing them. I assume, is there one still exists? It's been so long since I really listened.
Oh, yes.
Okay, they are, everybody's dropped them. Both bands, even bands that didn't have him singing on them, like from the pre-hymn days, so... Yeah, it's pretty bad. Just pray for him.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop, the head of the UN nuclear agency, Rafael Grossi, saying his top priority is getting his inspectors to check out Iran's nuclear facilities, view the damage firsthand. President Trump Lee's midnight hammer hit the mark.
I believe it was total obliteration. I believe they didn't have a chance to get anything out because we acted fast. If it would have taken 2 weeks, maybe, but it's very hard to remove that kind of material.
There's a report the strike wasn't as successful. Russia says it does not think anyone can have a realistic data yet on the strikes on Iran's nuclear sites. President Trump at the NATO summit, where the 32-member bloc promises to increase defense spending.
Trump enters this summit with an additional accomplishment. After years of pressure, Europe is finally paying up, with many NATO allies agreeing to spend 5% of their GDP on defense.
That's Fox's Brooke Singman reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Well, we are learning more about the double shooting that happened yesterday in Atmore. Officials say that happened after a large group of people had been drag racing on Carver Avenue, and this was, again, near 18th Avenue there. Officials say more than 40 gunshots were fired. Two victims have been identified. 18-year-old Gabriel Hooks died. He had just graduated from Escambia County High School this year and played on their football team. A female victim was also flown to a trauma center with multiple gunshot wounds. Atmore police are asking anybody with information on that shooting to come forward. So far, there's no information on possible suspects or a motive. A teenager's dead after being shot while attempting to rob a gas station in the Mobile area. Officials say that happened in Pritchard on Saturday. The teen was suspected of robbing the same store on the corner of St. Stephen's Road and Pritchard Avenue previously. Officials say after he was shot by the gas station clerk, the teen ran and got about two blocks away before he collapsed. He was wearing a hoodie, a mask, and gloves and carrying a handgun. The clerk has not been charged with a crime. Well, Escambia County Sheriff providing a little more detail on the fatal officer-involved shooting at a local Arby's. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the deputies were looking for 38-year-old Daniel Lewis Hayes on serious charges related to a domestic incident where he'd allegedly strangled and held a screwdriver to a woman's throat. Simmons says deputies went to Arby's looking for him.
We get a call that, hey, that person that you're looking for is just checked in or was going to Arby's. On 98. So our deputies, two or three of them, show up there. And when they pull up into the parking lot, he sees them and takes off running inside. One of our deputies follows him. Well, all three deputies follow, but the one right behind him follows. He jumps the counter into the back employee area of the Arby's. And then our deputy tries to grab him. He throws our deputy to the ground, quite honestly. And then our deputy gets up. And by that time, he had armed himself with a rather large knife.
And Simmons said while some people have questioned why a taser wasn't used, deputies had already drawn their firearms because Lewis had the knife, and he says they may not have had time to holster the firearm and draw the taser in that circumstance. Simmons did say three deputies shot at Lewis when he took an aggressive step towards them, and those deputies remain on paid administrative leave. He says it's important to understand how quickly the situation unfolded. FDLE is still investigating. A man who raped and killed a woman in Orlando is now dead. The state executed Thomas Guidinas at 6:13 last night at the Florida State Prison in Bradford County. The 51-year-old died by lethal injection. He was convicted of raping and killing Michelle McGrath in 1994. Guidinas' last visitor was his mother yesterday morning. The U.S. Supreme Court could weigh in on a Florida immigration law. Attorney General James Uthmeyer asked the court to settle a dispute between the state and a federal appeals court. That dates back to April when a federal judge issued a preliminary injunction blocking the state's law that makes it illegal for an illegal immigrant to enter the state. Uthmeyer asked an appeals court to stay the injunction. That request was denied 3 weeks ago. Last week, Uthmeyer submitted his request to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 79 degrees here in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices climbed 2% this morning as investors assessed the stability of the ceasefire between Iran and Israel. Brent crude futures rose 2% to $68.45 per barrel, while West Texas Intermediate gained 1.9% to $65.61 per barrel. With U.S. Steel's $14.9 billion sale to Nippon Steel made official last week, environmental advocates say it's time for corporate leadership to take real strides toward limiting pollution. Japan's largest steelmaker has agreed to invest up to $14 billion into U.S. steel facilities, but little has been said about how Nippon might work to reduce U.S. steel's emissions of greenhouse gases and chemicals. The New York Times reports that OpenAI chief executive Sam Altman had a call with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and discussed their future working partnership. The Financial Times reports that Microsoft is considering pausing discussions with OpenAI if the two sides remain unable to agree on critical issues. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 5:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are y'all?
We're doing great. A couple of incidents that have taken place in the last week we want to make sure we talk about. One, I guess, is at the, and I had not seen this, you were letting me know that the Black Diamond Lounge, we had an incident that maybe started over a robbery. Is that right?
Well, yeah, it was about
a theft,
type of thing. Yeah, we get a call that there was an unconscious male up there around the Black Diamond Lounge, up around the Valero gas station up there, which is across the street from it. We get there and we find a male was in and out of consciousness. We also find out there's another female that had been battered as well, with some relatively minor injuries to her face. And according to them, or she at least, there was a disturbance that was caused by an alleged theft, and there was a black female that was the suspect in this case. So they don't know who it is. They can just tell me that that it was a rather large female that had battered them and had stomped him while he was on the ground, causing the serious injuries to him.
This is inside or outside?
It was outside.
Okay.
And again, we try to talk to some witnesses. There were a lot of people around, but no one is coming forward with any information on this particular incident.
And nobody was live streaming, because it seems like that's a thing.
You know what? There's probably some video around there. We just don't have access to
it
at this point. We are checking the gas station to see if they have video of the incident. So we're certainly investigating it, because there were some serious injuries.
Yeah.
And then we obviously hope to talk to the victim himself.
We also had it was about a week ago or so, but you had a woman who was arrested after stabbing, I guess, her boyfriend at the Relax Inn on Mobile Highway.
That's it, yeah. She was staying with a guy at that hotel, and they had an argument over someone losing their job, something about employment. Then ultimately, as these things happen, it escalated, and she stabbed him in the back. Non-life-threatening injuries, but she was arrested, charged with it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like you've said many times, domestic stuff, you know, hard to prevent, hard to discourage. You get caught in the throes of the heat of the moment, of the argument, of the fight. You've been drinking all day, you know, bad decisions follow.
All of those things, yeah. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could just simply be a temper. And that's why we try to convince people to, you know, relax and count to 10 and or step away. We talked about it, I think, last time.
Leave
just
the
step
area.
Away, walk away from it, and then you can go back. And most people do that, fortunately. But we do have too many instances of domestic violence.
It's amazing how much of a change in your mindset just walking the other direction 50 feet and waiting 5 minutes can do. It's amazing.
Well, you know, you talk about that just in anger in general. You get so upset about whatever it is. It could be a domestic situation. It could be a ball game. It could be anything that you're watching on television.
A mean tweet.
It could
be. Somebody says something you don't like on Facebook, you know.
Exactly. It could be an animal. It could be anything.
Yeah.
And then, but if you do, you walk away from a little bit and you're like, you know what? Okay. Yeah. I was mad for a second, you know, a short fuse, but it died out pretty quickly.
How many times have you ever, and I'm not asking you personally, but I mean just in general, you know, how many times have you written that angry email or that angry comment on social media and then be like, I'm just going to go have a cool glass of lemonade.
Sometimes writing it is therapeutic, and then you just decide, fortunately, not to
watch an episode of Yellowstone and come back and see if this is still a good idea. Oh, that was, why was I? I was not going to, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, you ask, is it worth it? Let me just erase this thing and not mistakenly hit send.
Yeah, but in the heat of the moment, in an argument with the person who's right in front of you, it's harder to walk away and remind yourself to walk away. I mean, I'm not one for like catchphrases for my kids. My wife is much better at this than I am. But the one they've heard me say a lot is, leave the area. That's all you have to, just leave the area.
Exactly.
I wanted to talk with you about what happened at the Arby's on 98. Pretty big incident. Winds up with, I guess, an employee getting shot and killed by your deputies, right?
A felon.
A felon employee. Okay, fair enough. So what happened? What can you say? And I know it's under investigation, so may not be able to say a lot, but this is all over social media, you know, and all that, so...
Well, it stemmed from an incident that took place on the 13th, I believe, in which the suspect and was, in this case, was alleged to have committed domestic violence, strangulation, held a screwdriver to the throat of the victim.
Very serious charges.
And so we had warrants. There were warrants on our books for this individual.
And he had priors prior to the convictions prior?
Yeah, I don't know the history.
Okay,
His history. I just know that he had these very serious and what I call violent warrants. We get a call that, hey, that person that you're looking for is just checked in or was going to Arby's. On 98. So our deputies, two or three of them, show up there, and when they pull up into the parking lot, he sees them and takes off running inside. One of our deputies follows him. Well, all three deputies follow, but the one right behind him follows. He jumps the counter into the back employee area of the Arby's. And then our deputy tries to grab him. He throws our deputy to the ground, quite honestly. And then our deputy gets up. And by that time, he had armed himself with a rather large knife from the back of the kitchen area of Arby's.
Okay.
We obviously give demands, dropped a knife. The second and third deputies show up there. They also jump over the counter, and they're also helping out. At this point, there are, I think, three on the body camera, three other employees that are in that area.
Okay.
One of which is within arm's distance. So now the deputies have to concern themselves with their own safety, but they also have to concern themselves with the safety of others that might be around.
Did they tell them to get back, go away, leave?
I think that they're. I don't recall them addressing the employees on the body camera. I can simply say that they were certainly addressing him and demanding that he drop the knife. And again, these are close quarters in there, both width and length quarters that are very, very small and confined.
If something happens, you don't have a lot of options.
It's not. And again, okay. So we're telling him to stop and to drop the knife. And he, at one point, he just turns kind of away from the deputies, just more or less to the side. And then he starts taking stuff out of his pockets, but he keeps the knife in his hand. And he takes what looks like a lanyard or something around his neck, tosses that to the ground, and again, keeps the knife in his hand. He sees the deputies that are there. He turns, and I'll term it as, to describe as best I can, an aggressive step towards the deputies. And they felt like they had no choice but to fire, and they did so. So, you look at this, and I know there's some questions on did they have a taser? Could they have used a taser?
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah, it seems like as a layman, what you're describing, it seems like a sort of paradigm example of two police officers with guns, one police officer can use a taser. Obviously, if that does not work, then you have other options, but it seems like a first step. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think that we have to understand that these things happen really quickly. They evolve really quickly. I don't think that the deputy that initially grabbed him and was thrown to the ground thought he was going to pick up a knife at that point. Then when he picked up the knife, he unholstered his weapon. When you're faced with a deadly force situation, you can respond and likely should respond with deadly force. And again, we're talking about a deputy that was not only concerned with their own life, but also concerned with the employee that, again, was at arm's distance from this individual.
Yeah.
And I can simply tell you that the deputies at the time felt like they did not have time to holster a weapon with an individual with a knife in that close proximity to not just them, but also to the other employees. Again, the second and third deputies that arrived, this all happened within just a short period of time. They jumped the counter, went around the corner, the team with a knife, they also drew their firearms.
That was their immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to consider that the taser is not the end all. I mean,
right.
It requires prongs, being, hitting a suspect and then obviously being effective to
if you're an individual, if it's a one-on-one situation and you go for your taser and it doesn't work and he comes at you with a knife, you're unarmed.
You basically have one chance if someone was coming after you.
If it misfires, if it doesn't dig in, if it doesn't connect, whatever. If anything goes wrong, he's got a knife and you've got a piece of plastic.
Yeah, I think that what we want to be is transparent. And we're not putting out the body camera yet. I'm trying my best to describe what took place in the body camera because Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating. And I don't know that it's good form for me to put the body camera footage out. I'm simply trying to describe as best I can, knowing full well we're going to put it out. We're going to put the information out. But first, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement is going to look at it, and then they will present that to the state attorney's office, who will look at it. And in the meantime, we're assessing it ourselves.
There are three officers involved.
Right. Four officers involved.
Oh, okay.
Three fired because, again, this is close quarters. The fourth deputy was present but didn't fire. I believe he was on the last one to arrive.
Okay, so three deputies all thought the same thing, that this is a justified shooting at this moment. They reacted that way. I know they initially go on, mandatory.
Paid administrative.
Right.
Correct.
But when you are satisfied that the results of your internal investigation allow it, you put them back on the field. Are they back in the field yet?
They're not back in the field yet. What we do is they'll be on this paid administrative leave. We'll give them a day or two to process what's taking place. And then they will go and speak to someone. Mm-hmm. We will send them for counseling. And then that evaluation will come back to me. In the meantime, we'll do an internal look at it. And again, we have body camera footage of it.
Yeah.
And then I will determine when to put them back on duty.
And so fair to say that until you make that determination, you haven't made that determination, or do you think you're likely to clear them for duty, or do you care to comment?
Well, I've looked at the body cameras. Mm-hmm. And we have that information to us. I want to make sure that they are okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that people understand the toll that this can take on a deputy as well, because this is not something that we celebrate. This is not something that we wanted. It's obviously very unfortunate. So we'll evaluate all of that, and then I'll determine when to put them in what capacity to put them back to duty.
Okay. Yeah. And you and I have talked about this many times, but having a citizen die is certainly nobody's preferred outcome. Having to be the people who make a citizen die is never a preferred outcome. And it's, I think through what would it be like to be in the situation, be a cop, go through this, and then you have to go back out on the field and you have to go pull somebody over for speeding. You have to go talk to a kid who's crossing unsafe. You have to deal with all the normal circumstances, and you can't help but think about that all the time.
Right.
I mean, every 10 minutes, that's how the brain works, right? So
you have to go from this terrible situation to a situation when you have to be, you have to talk to a 5-year-old.
Yep.
You have to explain those things to him. So yeah, I think it's a very difficult job that we have on the best day.
One other thing, and whenever these incidents happen, it seems like 100% of the time, like I know in this incident, there was somebody who had posted a video from their car, and there's, Scambi County Sheriff's just killed my cousin, that kind of thing. And, relatives talk about how wonderful this person was, and they're fantastic, and my baby, and all this stuff. And I always think, it can't be that they're all stellar citizens. I understand that that's how people react, but it doesn't seem like that can always be the case, and it doesn't seem to help much. When parents and relatives and friends won't acknowledge that, this person was engaged in criminal activity. This person had a temper. Whatever. I mean, I don't know in this particular case, but it seems like this general pattern, and this feeling like we've got to give everybody their say. Well, I mean, what happened in the circumstance? Even if they're a great person 90% of the time, what happened in the circumstance? And the charges were serious, right?
Yeah, again, we didn't start this thing. I think that people are going to think what they're going to think. There are some people that are going to be critical no matter what takes place, mm-hmm. No matter what the facts are, even to the contrary. And we understand that. I've been in law enforcement for a long time, and all I can do is explain to the citizens and be transparent. This is what took place. I saw the body camera footage, and are people going to be all happy? Oh, I get it now. No, we understand that no matter what happens, no matter what we show, there are people that are going to be critical of that. But as the sheriff of Escambia County and as a citizen of Escambia County, I understand that there are men and women out there that are getting called to put these people in jail, and they do that. And sometimes at great risk to themselves. And I think you have to understand that these decisions are made in a split second. And to sit back and say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, I can simply tell you that our starting pay is about $53,500, and we're always hiring.
If you think you can do it well, you can try.
There's always television. Positions.
That's right. Hey, I did want to end on one quick thing, though. There, you guys had put out a note about a scam, particularly related to this jugging business, which I guess that's where somebody follows you from your bank where they think you've made a withdrawal, and they're looking to either burgle your car or rob you or something like this. Or is this a common thing here?
Well, there's two different things here.
Okay.
Thank you. The scam was involving people calling saying they're with the sheriff's office.
Oh, right.
And come
okay.
to the sheriff's office. And then before you get there, if you want to take care of this and not go to jail, then you can go buy an ATM somewhere and put Bitcoin in this overseas account. And for some reason, these people are continuing to – well, I know why. They're trying to make money out of it. And it just breaks my heart to know that people are giving twos and threes and $10,000 to this type of scam. So we want to make sure people understand. We are not going to call you for money. We're not going to call you. We're certainly not going to take Bitcoin for any reason. The scam. The other thing is
the
not
jugging.
Really a scam. Yeah. The jugging is not a scam. It is where people would watch you or an individual take large withdrawals seemingly large withdrawals from ATMs and then follow you and try to rob you or try to, if you go to the mall, then they'll take it. It happens a lot during Christmas. I say a lot. Nationwide, it happens a lot during Christmas where people, they know people go to ATMs, get money, cash money, then they go to a mall to go shopping. And the thought there is they'll try to find a time and a place to rob them or to steal from them. And it's mostly in, I say mostly, I've read that mostly it originated and most of it takes place in Texas.
Okay.
I don't know. But we've had some situations here, too. We want people to be aware of their surroundings and understand there might be some people watching them when they're at the ATMs.
As much as it's true that almost everybody's good people, there are enough bad people, you got to keep your eyes open.
That's correct.
Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time, keeping us safe, and giving us good guidance. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things that when you go there and you look at a car and you drive it and they say you're going to look at a price and you do and you sit down, they're going to give you a price sheet that's got everything related to the price of that car. And then there's a number at the bottom. The bottom is the out-the-door price. That's the only price. That's the total. That's everything. There's no, oh, and then some after that. And so that's the only price you talk about. I know when, you know, when we bought our Odyssey there, I asked them, they'd come down and they gave us a day. You know, I asked them, can we get a day? And they said, yes. And then they came down for one and they came down again and we bought the car. It was really simple. But when we sat down and looked at it, the second piece of paper behind the just price sheet was the Carfax. Now, Carfax, you know, if you haven't gone shopping for cars in a while, Carfax actually changed quite a bit, but it has become much more detailed. And it's still not the end-all, be-all of the maintenance and repair history of the car, but it's a pretty good resource. And, you know, I still always recommend if you're buying a used car from somebody that you don't know, you know, have an inspection done. Have a used vehicle inspection. It's worth the money, okay, to find out the things that you don't realize might be worth the car. But a Carfax is a great start. And so if you're buying, you know, you decide to go buy a car off of Facebook or, you know, off of, you know, Jim Billy Bob's corner lot or whatever, that's fine. But if they don't give you a Carfax, go to Frontier. They'll run your Carfax for free, no problem. You say, why would they do that? Well, because they can, because it's helpful, because it's a way to serve the community. And, you know, like they're going to help you buy a car from, you know, Sally on Facebook. Yeah, because they can, because they just want to make sure that you don't, you know, you get what you're trying to buy. Now, that's just a simple thing. It's a little thing, but it doesn't really benefit them other than maybe, you know, their reputation as being helpful. But that's the point. They have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Summer's heating up, and so is the menu at Sonny's Barbecue. This is Eldon with Sonny's. Sink your teeth into delicious competition-style St. Louis ribs, smoked to perfection and ready for a standing ovation. Or try the new barbecue slider sampler. Three bold sandwiches and one happy belly. Feeling a little tangy? Grab the Tennessee Vinegar pulled pork sandwich. It's got a zip that you won't soon forget. Don't forget to save room for the strawberry corn cakes. They're sweet, seasonal, and only for summer. Visit sunnysbarbecue.com for the location nearest you.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You made a woman meow?
late. How did it get to be so late? My fault. I'm just listening to the music. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with maybe a headline for us. David?
Well, sure. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Iran is now much further away from building a nuclear weapon after U.S. airstrikes over the weekend. Rubio's comments come, of course, after some reports claiming the attacks only delayed the nuclear program by a few months. President Trump still insisting the sites were obliterated. Rubio says that the strikes at least made a significant impact.
I know everything I know about Iran from Modern English. I learned that primarily they're so far away.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.